The usual suspects in our story today are the Magi, the wise men, Herod, and God. You see, we know this story so well that we hardly know it at all. This morning we've sung several songs that have had about these guys in it. The First Noel, We Three Kings, One King, all kinds of things about them. You see, even though we know this story, we think we know it so well that we hardly know it at all, that makes it tough to preach. Where's the excitement in it? Where's the joy? You see, this is a warm, fuzzy story, at least until we move past verse 12. But see, we're not going to move past verse 12 today, so this is, we get to warm fuzzies on this one. The visit of the wise men is part of Christmas. It does not have to mean anything, but I fear that it might. Before it was a happy theme for creches and children's pageants, it had a purpose in Matthew's gospel. It was supposed to say something important. What was it? We could conduct our investigation in a number of ways, but why don't we just round up those usual suspects that we questioned about today? The Magi, Herod, and God. Here's a very quick true-false quiz for you. I've got four things for you. I want you to think about them. You don't have to answer them out loud. Just think about them in your mind. The wise men were kings, true or false. There were three of them, true or false. They visited the baby Jesus, true or false. They met the shepherds at the manger, true or false. Think about it. All four of those statements are potentially and probably false. It's right here in God's Word. But now when you read, if you listen to those songs we've sung, you say there's three. You see, the Bible does not tell us that they were kings or how many that there were. Jesus seems to be a bit older when they visit Him. And He is called a child, not a baby. And they find Him not in a manger in a stable, but they find Him in a house. And if they met the shepherds, it was not on that silent, holy night. You see, Luke's gospel tells us about the shepherds and the birth and the smelly animals and all the people that made it to the manger. Matthew's gospel tells us about the wise men who actually came at a different time than that holy night. So, who were these people? We do not know as much as we would like to know about them. Matthew calls them Magi, which is Magi, the wise men, which has a range of meanings from a certain kind of Persian priest to a magician to a charlatan. So in our story, they possess secret knowledge and they look to the stars to predict the future. So in our case, they're some type of astrologer. They come from the East, we do know that. Certainly they are Gentiles, we think. Yes, they've got to be. But in response to the star, they seek out the one born King of the Jews. This is what their mission is. Why they would want to worship Him, we are not told, because they are from a distant foreign land. The second group of people or person that is in our picture today is Herod. The Herod that is in question in our story today is Herod the Great. And Herod the Great ruled Judea from 37 to 4 B.C. He was from the Idumean family. So, he was converted to Judaism as a small young man, and he built his career on total loyalty to Rome. So, he was not no nice fella, I can tell you that. He had his mind made up of how he wanted things to go, and if it didn't go that way, he just knocked people out of his way. He killed them. So if the Magi represent a proper response to Jesus, Herod represents the opposite. He is definitely on the other side. But on the plus side, his inquiries with the priest and the scribes become an occasion for Matthew to explain the location of Jesus' birth and link it to the Old Testament prophecy that we have read about here this morning. Otherwise, Herod is despicable, trying to trick the Magi so that he can harm the Christ child. And we know that's what he's up to. That's his intent. Because later on, he slaughters the infants of Bethlehem. Pharaoh, there he is. When we hear of Jesus, he is troubled. When he hears of Jesus, oh, he is troubled. And our last person in this story is God. Where is God in this story? You see, that is always a very good question to ask when you are reading Scripture and you are talking about things of the Bible, is where is God in the story? Matthew makes no direct reference to God, but God is always active. Whenever Scripture is fulfilled, and Matthew hits that point hard in this story, God is at work. The star also indicates God's activity because it was the thing that led them. It was their guide. It was their shining light. You could call this story of God reaching out to humanity. The Magi do not have the Scriptures, but God takes the initiative and He calls them. The God that we find working behind the scenes is an active God. It's an active God in our world, and He's moving with a purpose. Now, what do we know about, and what can we find out about these three things? From our inquiry of these three things that we've seen happen, I think we can draw a conclusion about the meaning of this story, that God has a bigger plan than we may realize. Think about that. That's not knowledge or great news, but it is something that we need to be reminded of from time to time, that God has a bigger plan than we may realize. Readers will not be surprised when they get to the end of this gospel and find Jesus saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." When he tells that in the end of Matthew's gospel in chapter 28, he says to them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." So he tells us to go and to do. He wants us to go and to be. He wants us to go and put feet to the things that he has taught us. They can think back to this story and see what God has in mind all along. You see, these Magi who seem to be so out of place in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and the gospel show up at God's invitation. They just didn't come. God invited them to be there. Also, do not miss the irony that is here, that Herod, who had benefit of God's word, he had benefit of the Scriptures, he knew them, missed the truth about Jesus while these stargazers and dreamers found it. See, they found the true meaning. Let that be a reminder to us that God works in a world in ways that we do not understand or acknowledge. This story today is a glimpse at the size and the scope of God's objective. If our investigation is on target at all, we have to come to the terms with a divine plan that includes every person in this world, even those we don't like. Even those, like Miss Vicki said, that don't show up all the time. But aren't we glad that God doesn't throw us away and put us in a pile that goes to the guardian angel for somebody else to sift through? Think about that. He includes each and every one of us. We're all a part, no matter how good or bad we are. And that includes you. And that includes me. So the suspects are upon us this morning. The people that we have read about, the people we sing about, the things that we like to change in God's Word. And the reason so many people do that is we like to take Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel and put them together and make our so that our nativity scenes will look pretty and look complete. But we see we don't know. We're not sure. Even in, if you look at the Scriptures to at the bottom of the songs, you can find that they were based on those Scriptures. We Three Kings and the First Noel was on Matthew's gospel. But yet, it doesn't say there was three kings. There was three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know how many kings there were. So there are so many things that we look at and we read and we think we know all the time, but yet we have to look at it sometimes with new eyes, a way of looking at things a little differently, a way of thinking, a way of asking God to help us to see what it is when we read His Word, to be inspired and to know what is going on. So each and every time we open His Word, we need to ask His presence with us to help us in understanding. So this week, as we begin our year together, let us be reminded of what we have just been through in this Christmas season this time of Advent that's been upon us, and what we have experienced anew when we have been able to see the Christ child, when we have seen the joy, when we have seen the goodness that has come by loving and caring, by sharing and giving. Allow us to take that into this year and allow us to have that hope that we can only find in knowing Him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this day for who You are in our lives, for loving us and blessing us. We thank You, Lord, for just the glory of knowing You. And we ask, Lord, this day that You just allow this time that we've had this morning to be one that will be able to dwell within our hearts, not only this day, but in days to come. The words that have been spoken, the words, Your word that has been read, the songs that have been sung, the prayers that have been lifted up, the requests that have come in Your name, the joys, the blessings that have come. We thank You, Lord, for that. And allow us, Lord, always Your mercy in all that we do. Allow us, Lord, this day to prepare our hearts and our minds not only to receive You in body and blood, but also to go from this place this day and take that Spirit with us. Be with us now, for it's in Your Son's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of